Do we really believe what we have been singing? I think that's the question that we need to put before us tonight. There's no doubt that God reigns in heaven as we have just been singing, but the real question is, does he reign in your heart and in mine? If a stranger had just happened to open the door during the last 15 or 20 minutes and listen, there is no doubt in my mind that he would be impressed with the fact that we believe that God is an awesome God. But if he were to remain and watch us for the next 15 minutes, would he be convinced that we really believe that God is an awesome God? And if he were to stay in Henderson tonight and to walk around on campus and in this area and around our homes and could watch us in our actions and listen to our words, would he think we believe God is an awesome God? And were he to be present in the activities of Horizons and observe the relationships among the young people that are present, and for that matter, among all of us who are present, and observe how we treat one another and our attitude toward one another and toward the worldly possessions and toward God, would he be convinced that we believe that God is an awesome God? Folks, it's one thing to sing it. It's another thing to live it. And there's where we've got to get down to the brass tacks of the matter, where the rubber meets the road, and ask the question, do we really believe that God is an awesome God? Mike read a few minutes ago from the New American Standard Version of the Bible in Hebrews 12:28, because that version uses the word awe, from which we get the word awesome. And in that passage, if you noticed, even in the verses before, it was talking about how great God is, how great his power is, what he has done, and what he will do, and then appeals to us that we ought to look at him with reverence and awe. A-W-E. I wonder sometimes if we really understand what is involved in that word. Our God is an awesome God. You look at passages like Titus 2:13 that calls him a great God, where Peter tells us about the great and precious promises, and Paul speaks in 2 Corinthians 9:15 about his unspeakable gift. And I'm just as sure as I'm standing here tonight that there's not a one of us in here who can really, really understand just how great God is, because his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts higher than our thoughts. And I'm not for sure that we've ever really paused, as long as we should, to think about the idea of how awesome God really is. God is so great. When we sang those songs about how great he is, what he means to us, it ought to make our hearts so thankful and so appreciative for everything that he has done. But that word awesome also carries with it the idea of fear. Not fear in the sense of fearing the dark or fearing a lion that might be after us, but as indicated in passages like Ecclesiastes 12:13, fear God and keep his commandments, Acts 10:34 and 35, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. It comes right back to say the same thing that was said there in Hebrews 12:28. We ought to look at God with reverence and with awe. And that little three-letter word, all, means that we are just amazed at how great God is in his power and how great he is in his love toward us. Think about how awesome God has been in the past, and reference was made to that in our text tonight, as reference was made back to the time of Moses and events that took place even beyond that. God was an awesome God in creation. You watch some of these magicians like David Copperfield on television and see the illusions, and it appears that things come into existence. You and I know that it is an illusion, but you think about the God of heaven simply saying, let it be that way, and it was that way, and brought everything that you and I know into existence simply by the word of his power. Think about how awesome that is and how great that is. that it could be just spoken and it would happen. And even when his word was brought into existence, it was inspired. We say that means God breathed. There is the awesomeness of God. A study of Old Testament times will show us just how powerful he is. Think about the God that could wipe Sodom and Gomorrah from the map. When they came to the point that they did not think they needed him anymore. Think about the God that could say to the children of Israel at Mount Sinai when Moses was up getting the Ten Commandments that would become the skeleton outline of the old law and the basic principles of all that God is. And he told them, if a person touches the mountain, he'll die. He said, stay back from it. Stand back and realize how great God is and how powerful he is. And even today, as you and I look in our own lives, though we may not see some of those great miracles that took place in ages gone by, we see the power of God in our own lives. Think about our blessings. We don't deserve all the good things that we're enjoying even tonight and shall enjoy throughout this week, but our awesome God has given them to us. And yet at the same time, we need to realize that that awesome God is the one who had the power to let us be brought into existence. A child is a heritage of the Lord. It is by God's blessings that you and I were even conceived. And that same God who blessed us in that way has the power to decide at any moment that you and I are through on this earth. Hebrews 9:27. And in the meantime, as Job expressed in Job 1, he is the sustainer of life. He has the ability to give. He has the ability to take away. You think about living before a power that has the ability to do whatever he wants to with us at any time he wants to. Our God is an awesome God. And yet realizing that we do not deserve any of these things, we see the awesomeness of God in the giving of salvation itself. So loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, John 3:16. Even while we were yet sinners, Romans 5:8, our not deserving anything, but receiving the greatness of God's grace. And although we may abuse that grace sometimes and not understand it, I'm sure that we really do not understand how great it is and what's made possible because of that. And then you think about the greatness of God in that one of these days every one of us will stand not as a group like this but as an individual before this great God who had the power to create, the power to take, the power to sustain, and will have everything in my life laid open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Hebrews 4:12 and 13. And to realize that he is the one who has the power to add us to the church, to remove our names. He is the one who has the power to say, enter in or cast him out. Our God is an awesome God. And we need to remember that every moment of the day. When we are serious, when we're having fun, when we are working, when we are recreating and recreation or rest, we need to remember that our God is an awesome God. But let me tell you for just a moment when God is not awesome in our lives. God is not awesome in our lives and in our hearts when we make him a God instead of the God. And there is such a tendency to do that in the world today. Out of our desire to be tolerant, there is a tendency for us to look around the world and say whatever a group of people may call their God is all right. And think of God with a little letter instead of with a capital letter. Folks, when we remove the capital letter from G-O-D and make it a little letter and think of him as a God instead of the God, and our Savior as a prophet instead of the Son of God, I suggest to you at that point that God becomes something less than the awesome God. That was somewhat the problem at Athens in Acts 17. They looked at all these gods, and then they realized there was some power, and they said to an unknown God, if we ever let the God of heaven become the unknown God of Acts 17 and become a God instead of the God, he's not very awesome in our lives. In the second place, God is not an awesome God when you and I bring him down to our own level in a buddy-buddy situation. Now, don't misunderstand me. Jesus is the best friend we ever had. And our Father in heaven is a friend to us in every sense of the word, as far as love and being there with us and being there to help us. But when we get to the point that we're willing to refer to the Father in heaven as the big daddy up there and bring him down in terms that get away from the reverence of God's word, and we tend to think of him as being down here on our level instead of on his throne, there is no way that we can have the proper reverence and respect for him. You cannot worship something on your own level. You cannot stand in awe toward something that is down where you are. God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And the whole process of taking advantage of his grace is to help us to come up from where we are and be as close to where he is as it is humanly possible, not to bring him down to where we are. And I suggest to you, as humbly as I know how, that many of the trends in life today seem to be going in that direction. To almost set ourselves up as being on the level with God, to where we become our own gods, and we fail to hold him in reverence and awe. And God may very well cease to be the awesome God that he really is when we only see one side of him. I ask that we sing that song, God is so good. And I'm not capable of standing here tonight and telling you just how good he is. I'm not for sure that the English language includes enough words for any of us to stand up here and describe the goodness of God, but there is also the severity of God. The same Bible that says in 1 John 4:8 that God is love says in Hebrews 12:29 he's a consuming fire. And the same Bible that tells us that God will reward the righteous tells us that he will punish the unrighteous in the same verse in many instances. And Romans 11:22 particularly says that we need to learn to behold the goodness and the severity of God. And I believe it is a tremendous mistake, especially for the younger generation, to think only of the goodness of God and to think that he cannot be just and that consuming fire that he has talked about. We need to approach persuasion of men from the standpoint of love, but folks, we also need to help us to fear God with reverence and awe. And if we only see his goodness, where yes, he is awesome, and fail to see his justice and his promise of judgment, I believe we're letting God cease to be an awesome God. And folks, if we learn to look at him in a light manner and live in such a way that we let his name be used in a frivolous and light way, we have no claim to state that we believe in God as an awesome God. A person, whether young or old, who will sit in a worship service or a Bible class where we're paying respect to God and not have his heart tuned to God doesn't really think of God as an awesome God. There's just no way that we can hold him in a light way and still think of him as being awesome. And folks, there is no way that we can use his name in vain or even in a light and frivolous manner and still claim to believe that he is awesome. I would doubt that from the mouth of anyone in this audience will come the words this week, by God. But I would imagine that there may be many times that there will be the words, my God, said with the same tone of voice, and meaning the same thing, and never think anything about it. I would hope that from our mouths will come the words Jesus Christ many times this week in respect, but I would also hope that never once would we use the name of Jesus Christ in any way to suggest that it is a frivolous manner or to use his name in vain. We have no right claim to believe that God is an awesome God if we take his name in vain and use it in a light and frivolous manner. God has even given Christ a name that is above every name. Philippians 2:9, And the next few verses show that every tongue should confess and every knee should bow when the name of Jesus is mentioned, when the name of the Savior or the name of the Father, the name of God as its entirety is mentioned. We ought to always hold it in respect and in awe. And folks, we do not have the right to claim that we believe that God is an awesome God when we deny Him. To claim that we have no sin is to deny Him, 1 John 1:10. To teach a damnable or condemnable heresy is to even deny Christ and to deny the Father, 2 Peter 2 and verse 1. And no matter what you and I put on our lips as we pray and as we sing and as we talk about how much we believe in the awesome God, unless and until we put Him in our lives, in our hearts and in our lives, He's not very awesome. And so the question again tonight, do you and I really believe that God is an awesome God? Oh, how great, how good, how wonderful, how marvelous, how unspeakable. The list of descriptive terms could go on and on as we talk about the God of heaven. But it's when we put Him not only on our lips, but more especially in our hearts and in our lives, that God is an awesome God. And I would challenge us, you, me, all of us, in our activities of this week and whatever time God gives to us in the future, that we speak and we act as if we really believe that our God is an awesome God. And if you're not a Christian, you need to start that acting right now in obedience. If you understand what God has done for us to offer salvation, how great His grace is, how wonderful the Savior is that extends His invitation and says, come and I'll make it right in this life and in the life that is to come, and you just stay back and don't do that, you don't believe God is an awesome God. And if you're living in a way that no Christian should live and there needs to be some straightening out in your life, whether private or in public, and you just let that go on, how can you claim that you believe that God is an awesome God? Our God is great. Our God is good. Our God is awesome. And we really show that we believe that by giving ourselves to Him and living for Him in commitment as long as we live on this earth. If you haven't done that, if you are not doing that, if you really believe God is awesome, come to Him as together we stand and sing.